and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with the mayor of Morehead, Laura White Brown. Laura, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, last week, the city council was incredibly busy. A lot of meetings last week. There's several that I want to touch base on. But this week, on Monday, there was a big announcement from App Harvest, which is really going to impact the community. They're going to be building another facility. And you and I were both at that groundbreaking. And saw a lot of people, talk to a lot of different folks who are going to be working on that project. But they had a lot to say about the community of Morehead and Rowan County, and I thought that that was really interesting to see people who aren't originally from here to talk so passionately about this community.
I really couldn't agree with you more. I find it very, I don't know, almost prideful to hear people who aren't from here, but choose to invest here, care so much about the community. And from day one with App Harvest, what they've always stressed to us as community leaders is that they are investing in our community as people. And so I think that just goes a long way. Hearing people who really care and want to have events downtown and better the lives of residents here is really something amazing to see. I kind of feel very honored to get to be a small part of it, but also to be here witnessing it. The governor said, you know, all of us are watching our community change for the better and we're living it. And so I really believe that. It's very moving and reassuring. I think Morehead's going great places.
Now, talking a little bit about the meetings that were held last week for the city council, three different meetings. So we're going to start at the end of the week and move backwards. The board met on Friday evening, I believe, to talk mostly in closed session about the lawsuit that was filed against the city and some members of the city council by some of the former residents of the North Fork Mobile Home Park. Now, there's not a lot you can talk about publicly when it comes to lawsuits, but I do know that City Council did take some action to kind of take care of that issue.
Yes, so the city had a special call meeting last week that took place in closed session, and then there was action taken after. The city voted to give me the authority to retain an attorney pending their proposal, which will go back to council for final approval when we receive that.
Why not just use the lawyer that the city has on retainer for everyday events?
So the way that it works with litigation is local governments typically hire outside attorneys for specialized cases. So that's what we're doing now. We also work with the Kentucky League of Cities for representation. However, because of the type of case that this is, it doesn't fall under what they typically provide attorneys for. So that is the reason to look for outside counsel.
Now, these kind of issues generally take months, if not years, in litigation. But moving forward, we'll have to touch base on that occasionally just to see where things are, I guess, when it comes up in the meetings.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, moving to the second meeting of the week, that was June 17th, the City Council had a lot to talk about with the Department of Justice office, and there was policing service hiring program grant. This is something I honestly don't know a whole lot about this. Did the city apply for this grant, and what does it mean? How is it going to impact the city?
Sure. So the city actually is in the process of applying for this grant. And when you apply for grants like these, you're required to submit a resolution because it's a matching grant. So the city will contribute some funding to that if awarded the grant. And part of the application process requires that resolution of commitment from the city. And so we passed it at the first meeting of the week, but then we had to change the matching amount based on the grant specifications. So that was the reason for the special called Zoom meeting.
Now with this, it's really going to make it a little easier for different officers to be hired or rehired when it comes to making sure that the police department is fully staffed.
Yes. So the great thing about this grant is it's specific to salaries and more so for officers that are already trained. So if we can find officers who have been through the academy that are looking for employment, or even retired officers who want to come back to work on a contract basis, it gives us the authority to contribute these funds towards their salary, which is a huge benefit. It saves taxpayer dollars, but it also helps us, you know, keep fully staffed as well.
Now, you and I had touched base on this before, but it's been a minute. Is the police department fully staffed at this time?
We are not currently fully staffed. We have vacancies both in the dispatch office as well as a few patrolman positions that are open. And so we're always taking applications for both of those. But if you are interested, we would love for you to come down and talk to anyone in the office about the position. Feel free to apply.
Now, I know that there are some age restrictions for specifically police to be a deputy, but are there similar restrictions for someone who might want to be a dispatcher?
There is a training, an academy that you have to go to as well, I believe in Richmond, Kentucky, but that is paid for by the city if you apply. And then if you're already trained but looking for a position, we are very open to talking with you as well.
So one of the first things that the community heard from public comments was from Operation Gateway, which is going to offer some free medical care to the community coming up.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this program. It's a partnership between the Gateway Ag District as well as the Department of Defense, and then the city and the county are playing a small part in that as well. What this is, they're calling it Operation Gateway, and it is free medical services, including eye, dental, and physicals. So people from all over, you don't have to be just from Round County or even a surrounding county, anywhere in the state or out of state is welcome to come over. The program will take place at the Laughlin Health Building, and it's free medical screenings. And so they are going to be able to do dental exams, extractions, fillings, optical exams, and even have single prescription eyeglasses available. So a lot of opportunity there. If you need a checkup, we'd love for people to come down. It's going to take place July 12th through the 19th. And so they'll be open from 8 to 4 every day. So we would love for people to come down and take advantage of this great event.
Now, there's a lot of stuff happening downtown. Things are being prepared for some events that are coming up. And I do want to get into that. But I noticed today, as I was taking my walk this morning, that some walls are going up at the police 911 facility downtown, which is exciting. You can finally, I know they've been working on it for a while, and there's been a lot of work going into it. But it seems like until the walls go up, you don't notice that it's happening. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, people. So tell us where we are with that project.
Exactly. It's so exciting. Some of the employees and myself, we noticed the walls start to go up towards the end of last week. So we went down, we're able to walk around and take a look at it. You really feel like it's happening when that starts, and you can really see the progression. The building is still moving forward. They are, due to some weather and supplies, they're about a month behind, but that should put us at a finishing date of midsummer next year. So we're hopeful that that continues to stay on track. And I think you'll start to see a lot more going up in the next coming months.
Now, I know that there were payments approved during the fiscal court meeting for that. Is the payment schedule on track, or is it costing more than anticipated, less than anticipated?
We are on track right now. I'm still falling directly within the budget. So we approve payments at each meeting, kind of just like the monthly bills and costs associated with the project. So hopefully we stay within that budget.
I feel like that's what everybody's saying when they're building something, especially right now with supply costs being higher and being able to get the supplies that are needed.
It's an expensive time to build, but luckily, you know, we bid everything out kind of before some of the rate increases started. So we're hopeful that we're still right where we need to be.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Come celebrate Independence Day at Fazoli's Freedom Fest in downtown Moorhead on Saturday, July 3rd. Americana, rock, and gospel music on three stages, 4 to 11:30 p.m. Food and beverage vendors, and the reopening of the Rowan County Railroad and History Museum. Watch the sky light up with East Kentucky's best fireworks display shot from the Moorhead City Park at 9:30. Free and family-friendly, come to Fazoli's Freedom Fest in downtown Moorhead, 4 to 11:30 p.m. on Saturday, July 3rd. Presented by Fazoli's of Moorhead, Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the City of Moorhead, Rowan County Fiscal Court, and the Moorhead Tourism Commission. More information on Facebook under Fazoli's Freedom Fest.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and we're visiting with Laura White Brown today, the mayor of Moorhead. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the City Council had a very busy schedule last week, a lot to talk about during their regular June meeting. One of the things that was discussed, kind of in unfinished business, is the Entertainment Destination Center. There's been a lot of work going into making that happen. The Bats and Oats Street has been closed for quite some time. Originally kind of done as a COVID, like, here's a place you can be outside and be safely social distanced. But, you know, often, especially in the evenings when it's nice weather, there are a lot of people downtown who are spending a lot of time in that area and enjoying the outside tables. There's music out there a lot. And it's very interesting to see the community that has started happening in that area.
Absolutely. You know, especially after the year that we've been through with COVID, more than a year, really, to see people out in public enjoying kind of community again is really reassuring. And we're thrilled that people are taking advantage of the outdoor dining areas and kind of the new atmosphere that we've created in downtown Moorhead.
So with the Entertainment Destination Center, I know that that's sort of something that you have to go through the state to make that happen, to be able to do the things that we're wanting to do. So what is happening? Where is the city in that process?
We are moving right along in that process, and I'm excited to report that. We should be fully up and running by the Freedom Fest event, which is exciting. I think that'll really be the first time we're going to try out the entire area as a whole. So what we've done currently are order the supplies needed to comply with the alcohol license and approval for that process. So you'll see some new signage going up, kind of marking the areas of the destination zone, as well as we're creating specialized cups and stamps that people will have if they do walk the area with beverages in their hands. So that way everything's easily identifiable.
Now, are the downtown businesses, like each one that, like, for example, that can serve alcohol, are they going to get the cups from the city? Are they going to order those? Yeah. Like, everybody's...
So the city has ordered those cups, and they'll be distributed to participating businesses.
Very cool. Now, I know we've talked about this a lot, but we haven't really got into specifics about what's going to be allowed, what's not going to be allowed. I know within the district you can purchase, a beverage, an alcoholic beverage from one of the downtown businesses that serve those and walk around with a special cup. But where is that area?
So we have a map that we'll be distributing, as well as signage kind of identifying that area. But the easiest way to explain it is if you're on Main Street near Lafinka's, it goes all the way down and through that stop sign to kind of the IGA parking lot complex. And then Main Street of that area and then First Street in that area is included there.
That's a very large area, and it's definitely going to change what people are able to do in certain areas for those downtown events like Freedom Fest that are coming up.
Right. It is a large area, and there was a lot of discussion when trying to make those decisions initially, too. However, it's actually quite smaller than most cities' areas, so I do feel good about it in that aspect as well. Mm-hmm.
Now, the city, getting back to the agenda from the city council, there was a reading of an ordinance that amends the city of Moorhead's public utilities code, gas and water specifically. The service rates and charges are going to be increasing. This is kind of part of a multi-year change that has been in the works for quite some time, but it seems like every time it happens, people are surprised by it. So I definitely wanted to bring that up. What's going to be happening with the rates for the community?
Sure. So this is part of the scheduled five-year rate increase. I believe this is the fifth year of that. So we should be coming to a close on that portion of it. This is for the Moorhead Utility Plant Board. So it's specific to water rates here. And there's different rates depending on how many gallons that you use. But those notices are all included with the plant billboards as well.
And when will people start to see those changes in their bills?
They will be reflected starting July 1.
Okay. Moving right along in the agenda, of course, this is the time where budgets are solidified and passed. I know the City Council did pass the budget for the next fiscal year, which starts July 1. What are some of the things that are going to be changing, and how much is the overall city budget for the year?
So we did successfully pass next year's budget, which is always pleasant thing to do. It just kind of keeps us looking towards the future here. The total amount of our budget was a little over $12 million, and that does incorporate some grants and some projects as well. We're looking at a total estimated revenue of next year of a little over $8 million also. And then we have, of course, our bonding is included in there with the police 911 construction, as well as some capital projects that are specific to departments.
Are there any big changes that are happening, like something that's completely or slightly different even from the last fiscal year? Although I know there's probably a ton of things that are closer to the 2019 fiscal year than they are to the 2020, since everything was so uncertain during COVID.
Right. So when COVID hit, what we did was we cut out all capital projects with the exception of the construction for the police and 911 facility. And so this year we kind of added back all of those capital projects. A lot of that is equipment, specific resources, equipment for the fire department, for the police department, and our public works department. So you'll see some new vehicles, which are part of our lease agreement with Enterprise, but then some resources to help with garbage collection, mowing, things like that, that aid to public works as well as parks and recreation.
Now, the City Council had a lot of other different little things to discuss that's kind of like regular business for the city, paying the bills and approving annual agreements. One thing that was interesting, though, the resolution from the Kentucky Department of Transportation talking about the city road system. Are there some changes coming or some upgrades happening?
Every year we have to submit kind of an update for city roads to make sure if any roads have been taken out of city or added into city. And so that's what this was. It's just required by the Department of Transportation. So this was just an update. And so some roads are no longer streets themselves. So we made those changes, but we have quite a list of roads. I don't think people realize how many roads are actually in city limits.
It is quite a lot to keep up with sometimes. We're almost out of time here on Open Mic, but I did want to discuss really quickly. I know the city is preparing for the first big post-pandemic event, which will be Fazoli's Freedom Fest, that's happening on July 3rd downtown. There's a few things happening on the 2nd, and there's a big crowd expected downtown. What are some of the things that the city is doing to kind of prepare for that big event?
We're really excited for this event. It is an event put on and facilitated by the Downtown Moorhead Organization with support from the city and county tourism, as well as the Chamber of Commerce and several individual sponsors as well. We are making sure that we're fully staffed with enough people for security purposes, but also you'll see a lot of our Public Works Department and Parks and Recreation Department out making sure that everything is clean and upkept during the event and after the event itself.
And I know in previous years we've had large thousands of people who attend this event. I guess there's not really any way to estimate how many people are expected to come downtown for this.
We don't know. We have different groups are going to try to track numbers that come downtown. Of course, that's very hard to do given the access to our community, but we're hopeful for one of the biggest events that we've seen in a long time.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Mayor of Moorhead, Laura White Brown, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.